Thank you, Kat. I am just going to lower this down because I'm a shorty. That's better. Now I can see you now. Let me pop that down. And just move those. Well, it's so good to be here today to share with you on our third message on in our value series. And this is a special series that the elders have put together and chosen for us to work on in 2024. And we've already had being authentic. That means being genuine, being exactly what is claimed. I saw an interview this week on Morning Breakfast with the Fonz, Henry Winkler. I guess that will give your ears will go up if you're in the right age range for knowing who the Fonz is. But in the interview that he was doing, he's just released a book. And he summed up at the very end with these words. Be authentic. Don't be what you are not. I thought, man, he's been listening to our series at church. How good is that? Came all the way out here from America to tell us that. And we're getting it every Sunday. That's great. In our small group, when we shared on this after we had that message, our prayer time together that week was so special as people in the group shared how life really is and we prayed in a much more meaningful way for people. That's what being authentic does. And our connection, that was next time, is with God and with one another here at church and for those around about us who do not know Jesus. And we need to always be authentic in our relationships with them. During the week, I was talking to Melissa, who has just recently started coming to RCC, which is great. And she was sick last week, and that's why I was just having a yarn with her during the week. And she told me that she had done a drawing. Now, I'm not working. Why am I not ringing it? Turn it on. Let's try that. It's better. She told me that she had done a drawing, and I said, oh, can I see it? And she showed it to me. And this is what she did as she was thinking about not being at RCC. And what really touched me was what Melissa wrote on her drawing. There it is in the left-hand side. She wrote, RCC, my home. What does it mean when we call RCC my home? I thought about that during the week. It means we're in a place that we can connect to and where we can belong. It means being cared for and to be able to care for others. Tom suggested last week that you might like to go away and make a phone call and follow someone up and journey with them during the week. And I am very aware at the moment of some people in our congregation with absolutely huge needs. And it was so precious to talk to them throughout the week and to know that people here in this church had been a support in this past week. They'd come alongside and they did what they could do to help. And how powerful is that? And when you call RCC home, that means too that you want to grow in your walk with God. And Melissa, we're really thankful that you belong here. We're blessed in having you here and for the input that we have with you. It works both ways. So thank you for the drawing and for how that just ties together today. We're going to build on those two truths, authenticity and connection today, as we look at today's topic, which is called storytelling, sharing God's story and our own. I'm doing a Bible study at the moment in Acts. And I've just begun it, and it's really spoken to me already in the first couple of chapters that I'm doing with someone. And Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus told his disciples that he was returning to heaven, and they were to wait in Jerusalem until the coming of the Holy Spirit. They were told to be witnesses, to go out and to tell God's story and theirs in a few places, in Jerusalem, into Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Well, what does that mean for us in 2024? Where is our Jerusalem? But first we've got to know we have the power of the Holy Spirit within us. We get it when we first become a Christian. We get filled with the Holy Spirit, and that gives us a power. We don't need to wait for it to come. We've got it. That's good news, isn't it? And that then means that we will be empowered as we go out. And our Jerusalem, where is that? Well, that's our home, our community, our close family, the places right around near us. And then this verse goes on to an ever widening circle to other areas and to other groups of people. And maybe for you, that might be where you work or the clubs that you belong to, the people at the shops who serve you. And in this area, you might also find people who you would not call your friends. Actually, you might even say they're not even your cup of tea. But you will come across them. And we're told that we are to be a witness to them as well. And it doesn't stop there. Look at the last phrase. Even to the ends of the earth. We live in a world now where people from all around the world come and live right here in our city, Melbourne, and in our community. We've had a taste of that this morning. How good it is that we have a Burmese congregation meeting here every Sunday afternoon. And we are thankful, Daniel and Boy Boy, for the contribution you've made this morning. This is partnership. We're blessed that this afternoon you will come into our church. Quite a large family of you that will be in here worshipping and praising God in your mother tongue. And that's the partnership we can share together as we extend our facilities to you and as you come and join us for worship this morning. We are called by God to share with others and to help grow people in their faith. And as we learned last week, we are to share our faith with those who are lost, not on a journey with God. And we can often think, oh, I can't do that. I don't know enough. Well, how much is enough? Sometimes I think the more I learn, the more I realise I know so little. And that's good to be reminded of that fact. I love the way that the woman met Jesus at the well in John chapter 4. She thought she knew a lot. But she realised as she talked to Jesus that she misunderstood so much. And when Jesus explained to her living water and how he was the Messiah, the Christ, wow, this opened up her mind to a whole new way of understanding the faith. Do you know, the truth was no more than just a few minutes old in her mind when she put down her water jug, she left Jesus, and she went back into her community that she'd come out of. Just a few minutes old, that's all it was. And she began to talk to the people in the town where she lived. And she said, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? What a question, she asked her community. And they were so interested, they left town, followed her back out to the well, and then sat down and listened to Jesus as he talked. And at the end of this powerful story, these are the words of the townspeople. Now we believe because we have heard for ourselves. Isn't this an amazing story of sharing your faith? Only minutes old in that woman at the well, and yet she so powerfully told that story. And telling your story is powerful. You see, we're just introducing people to Jesus, our friend, and we tell them what Jesus means to us. And we too may well be a link in a chain that leads them to Christ. In the book of Acts, there is story after story of the growth of the church and the way that God led the believers to share their faith with others. When you look at Peter's message on the day of Pentecost, that's when the Holy Spirit did come with power upon the people. Peter begins to talk and he shares the story of Jesus. That's why the story of Jesus is so powerful. Peter spoke with great power on that day. You know, he was just an ordinary person who was transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. He began, Peter, when he was preaching, by actually sharing the story of Jesus, how Jesus was born, how he died on a cross, that he was resurrected, and he's now in heaven. Well, what does that mean to you and me as we live in 2024? Well, that's the story we have to share. It hasn't changed. We tell our story, but always our story needs to point Jesus, point them to Jesus and to the cross as a way that their needs can be met. The Apostle Peter went on after this amazing experience to write a great book in the Bible called 1 Peter. And I want to read to you just one verse from 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 that so helps us in us understanding our storytelling. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. That's 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. It begins with, in your heart, set apart Christ. This is where the storytelling all starts from, in your heart. You need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. When Christ is Lord in your life, you will want to share that with others. Always be prepared. Prepared to give an answer to a question that is asked of you. And sometimes this will happen when you least expect it. We had grandchildren staying with us very recently. And Peter, my husband, he said goodnight to everyone and he headed off to the bedroom. Sometime later, Peter came back and went into the shower, which is just off the area where we were. And one of the grandchildren said to me, "What's Pa been doing? Where has he been?" There was a question. And my answer was simply this. Pa's been in his bedroom. Before he goes to bed, he reads the Bible and he prays. He really likes talking to God and hearing God talking to him. They looked at me and said, "Huh." End of story. Maybe that night a little seed was sown for them to understand that talking to God is very important to their path. Did I expect that question to come right there and then? Definitely not. But I love the fact that it says in this passage that we need to be ready to give an answer. And how are we to give that answer? With gentleness and respect. Some people think that it's necessary to put somebody right when a question is asked, you know, give them all the facts. Not so. We're not there to criticise when a question is asked, nor are we there to bash them over the head with the Bible, but we are to speak with gentleness and respect. I find in my journey of talking with people and listening to their stories and sharing my stories, that praying with people is very powerful. Often people share with me the pain of their journey or the loss that they might be experiencing. Whatever it is, I listen, and then I regularly say to people, can I say a prayer of blessing over you? And I pray for them, committing their needs to God, that is, because that's part of my story that I want to share with them. God is interested in every aspect of their life. And I endeavour to do it with gentleness and respect, being mindful of where I am and if they're happy for that to happen. And it says, always be prepared. Well, how do you prepare? I think prayer is the foundation for this. We need to keep on praying for those that we have a heart for. You ask God to lead you and to give you the question that you can then give the reason for the hope that lies within you. And yes, we pray daily for our grandchildren, and we are always on the lookout for the question. I think that's the difference, isn't it? You can't prepare for every scenario, but you can have a heart that is soft towards God and knowing what God wants to do in and through you. Now, I have a personal goal of well-being. I want to be able to walk 7 kilometres in April, not just on one day, but on 2 days. Peter and I booked a holiday 6 months ago, and it includes a trek along some rice fields with amazing views. Now, I do not do walks. That's not for me. I just don't have the feet nor the knees to tackle that. But I don't want to miss out on something special. So I knew if I wanted to do those walks, I'd have to take this challenge just one step at a time. I began with a 1 kilometre walk, and I have been slowly adding to it, and now I've done 4 kilometres. I didn't think that was possible, but I have, and I'm still going because I've got to get to 7. I am so thankful to Peter, my husband, who has been such a support with this challenge. He has come with me on the walks and not gone at his pace, but he slowed right down so I can keep up. Will I make it in April? I don't know. But I'm going to give it a go. And as we look at storytelling, you might be thinking, I don't do storytelling. Faith is very personal. This is not for me to be telling others. But I want to encourage you this morning that connecting and storytelling are very much a part of us living out our Christian faith, as we have seen from the Bible, this verse and the other verses we've looked at, and that definitely includes living in 2024. And just like my walking, I want to encourage you to set a goal, to work at it, but most importantly, to pray over it and look for God to lead you in the areas where you want to engage in conversation, especially with those that are precious to you. It might just start with answering a question. As you catch up with family and friends and workmates during the week, so often this question is asked of you. What did you do over the weekend? That's a question that needs an answer. Did you go to church? Did you watch on live streaming? How can you start up a conversation about Jesus from that question? You're not going to preach a 30-minute sermon. It might just be a one-sentence answer that you will give, but it will open the door to more questions and more time with that person later on. You will need to prepare. You will need to think over a question like, well, why do you come to church? Do you find hope? Do you find strength? Do you find encouragement? Maybe that's one of the answers that you might give. This is your story. That's where you need to know why you come and why you share. And I'm just going to give you a little chance this morning to think about that. And remember, when you're sharing, it's God's story and your story that makes it so special. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to ask you to get into just small groups, three or four, no more. And I want you to ask that question of the people in the group where you are sitting. And I want you to have a little practice run at answering that question. You're in a good space here this morning because everybody knows why you're asking them. And I want you to have a little practice at being able to answer that question. I want you to get used to hearing your own voice and hearing that answer. And you might say, oh my goodness me, I messed that up totally when I answered that question. Well, you know what? Maybe the other people in your little cluster are feeling exactly the same way. This is just to give you a little feel for how that might work. I want you in the room right now to get yourself into that little cluster of three or four, no more, and do that. And while you're doing that, I'm going to speak to the people on live streaming. So shuffle the chairs, it's okay. They'll hear me while I'm still talking. If you're watching on live streaming, I hope you too can enter into this. I want you to speak out loud. That might seem very odd, sitting in the lounge room, driving in the car, out walking, but I'm asking you to do that as you share your answer. And you can talk to me. I'm going to stay standing here. You'll feel like you're having a conversation with me. And although I can't answer back, I will be praying for you. So I'll catch you in 4 minutes. 4 minutes is all you've got.
Thank you.
Okay, everyone, I'll have you back. Thanks. Okay, our final verses that we're going to read are up on the screen. And I'm going to read to you now from Romans 10, verses 13 to 17. And I've chosen the Message Bible. Everyone who calls, help God, gets help. But how can people call for help if they don't know who to trust? And how can they know who to trust if they haven't heard of the one who can be trusted? And how can they hear if nobody tells them? And how is anyone going to tell them unless someone is sent to do it? That's why the scripture exclaims, a sight to take your breath away, grand processions of people telling all the good things of God. These verses sum it up for me why I want to tell my story. I want to be in that grand procession of people telling all the good things of God. What a visual picture that is. I want to see people coming to know Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. And remember, just like my walking, I chose to walk because I don't want to miss out on something special. And sharing your journey with Jesus with others is so special. And I hope you want to be open and to give it a go. We've got cards if you came in the church this morning with notice about our next series starting in March, including our Easter, Good Friday and Easter Sunday series. Can I encourage you to take this and put it in your bag and look for a question as to how you might be able to introduce this and pass this on. I'm not standing stand on the street corner and pass them all out. You're looking for a question that will provide this, will provide an answer to invite someone to come and to share in our March series, and particularly over Easter. And just like my Peter encourages me on my walking to go further, so as you share your desire to share your faith story with someone, share that, what you want to do that with someone. You know, it'll hold you accountable. It'll inspire you to keep going that little bit further, one step after the other in your journey of telling your story. And if today, as you sit here or you listen online, and you're not sure that you are a Christian, then I want to encourage you to take that first step and talk to someone about it. It's the greatest news you'll ever receive. You can come and chat with me today or with one of the elders. We've got Cam, Ian and Ross with us too today. Or talk to someone that you might know here in the church, someone who shines for Jesus. They might only be a few minutes old in the faith, like the woman of Samaria. But if that's real for them, they'll be very happy to share that journey with you. And if you're online, then the email address will come up at the end. You make sure you shoot me off an email, phone up, and I'll be very happy to talk with you and explain further the way of knowing God. You can call out to God and He will answer you. And who knows who He will send. Next week, Cam will wrap up the series. He's going to be looking at moving forward and how that will help us in understanding more about our journey with God. I'm excited to see and to hear what God is going to do in your life this week as you pray and as you ask the Holy Spirit to give you the questions to answer. hope that's on your heartbeat too. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we want to thank you that you chose to connect with people and to lead them to faith. And Lord, we long to be your witnesses. We long to take your story out into our life, into our community, our family, our workplace, wherever you put us. And Heavenly Father, I pray that as we are diligent about that this week, that we will see you opening doors, giving us questions, and helping us as we prepare to give answers. And we thank you in the precious name of Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. I think our music team has a song for us. Thank you.